Welcome back to The Road to Stormont, a Green Ball podcast special where we'll meet some of the best, funniest, most talented and dedicated people in Irish cricket ahead of the Test match between Ireland men and Zimbabwe men. The first time the two nations have met in Test cricket, and only the second home Test Ireland have played so far. Last episode, we were on the ground hearing from Stormont groundskeeper Phil McCormick on what it takes to prepare a Test pitch. Listen back on your favourite podcast app and subscribe to hear more stories that are funny, fascinating and moving, but are all driven by a passion for our sport. This time around, we spoke to people you're not likely to see in front of the camera.
Welcome, Stella Downs.
Hello, Craig. It's nice to be here.
So, you're well known for a lot of things. But scoring is probably one that most people associate you with. How on earth do you get into scoring?
Well, I fancied myself as a player, but I'd taken it up too late. And
Stop you there. So did you play?
Oh, I played after a fashion. So I was in boarding school and we got a new maths teacher, and our maths teacher was Rodney Green from Railway Union. And he decided that he was going to introduce cricket into the school, and I was absolutely thrilled. I got the bug for playing, but I was in sixth year. We were going on to do exams, so it was literally a couple of matches. I then went to college and started working, and suddenly I moved into a new shared house, and one of the girls in the house happened to have just started a relationship with the opening bowler of Clontarf Cricket Club. So I found that there was a cricket club in the locality, and so she brought us down as moral support to go down and watch cricket. I was more than happy to go, and discovered then that they had women's cricket as well. And I went, oh, this is brilliant. I'm going to play. And I did, and thoroughly enjoyed it. An opening bat who wanted to be a willowy fast bowler, but that was never going to happen. So, an opening bat, played for our third 11 for years, and then captained our second 11 for a number of years. Was never good enough for our, we had a very scary first 11 with five internationals on it. So I was never going to make that. But as captain, you need umpires. Our matches, you had to go and find an umpire for your evening games. And I found that if you went and you offered to score for a captain, that captain would then come back and umpire for you. So Hoppy Ellis from Clontarf kind of took me under his wing and gave me the job of scoring for his second 11. And the following year, I took over from Billy Vincent on the first 11 and been there ever since.
So did the first time you sat down with a scorebook?
I hadn't a clue. I was handed a book. It was a game I was playing in. And it was a case of looking at the person next to me and trying to figure out what they were doing and basically copying what they were doing. But I love numbers. I love maths. I'm a bit of a nerd like that. It seemed very logical and very straightforward. And so from doing the book for our own team and trying to sort out the book when other people had done it, I discovered it was easier to do it yourself. So it just kind of moved on from there. And then Alan Tuffrey was running scoring courses in Trinity. And so I went in and did scoring courses with him and just kind of moved on from there. You don't necessarily have to be brilliant with numbers. You have to understand the logic of cricket. And if you can understand logic, it follows very distinct steps. And anyone can use a calculator. I don't carry one. I've never used a calculator, but anyone can use one. So once you know what to do, really anyone can take up scoring. The biggest thing you need is concentration.
What is it you enjoy about scoring?
The umpires say they have the best seat in the house. I would disagree with them, and I'd say we have the best seat in the house because we don't get the blame. Because people, they always have an issue with an umpire's decision somewhere. Generally, they tend to just be appreciative of scorers.
What is you consider the biggest match you've ever scored?
Oh, well, there are lots of different ways that you can interpret that question. Mm. So I suppose from a club point of view, it would have to be the match when we won the Irish Senior Cup. And we have won it once in all my years in Clontarf. And I didn't even see the last over because there were tears rolling down my face. So from an emotional kind of, wow, I can't believe this is happening, moment. It has to be the first test match against Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
The anthems there just sent shivers down my spine, and just the very fact of being involved in a game like that was huge. It was incredible.
So when we go to the Belfast test now, you won't actually be in the scorer's box this time. You'll be in the corporate hospitality tent as Cricket Ireland president.
It'll be an unusual one for me. One of my roles is as the scorer manager for the country. And so I'm involved in who's appointed to matches. And I went back earlier and I mentioned that my first international was with Dr. Murray Power. Murray has scored for Ireland since long before I was involved in cricket. And he's never scored a test match. And so I felt it was hugely important that he got an opportunity to score a test match. So he's going to be doing this historic test match in Belfast. And as he's from Belfast, I think it's really appropriate that he does that. I learned a huge amount about scoring and scoring at a high level from Murray and from spending time with him and watching him. I'd be in that tent a little bit envious of Murray with his pen, but he'll probably be a little bit envious of me with a glass of wine in my hand. So I think that's a fair swap.
Next up, it's someone who was involved right in the thick of the action during Ireland's first test match against Pakistan in Malahide.
My name is Mark Hawthorne and I am a match official, an umpire. And for this test match, I will be the television umpire.
Very good. And for people who don't know you, give us the cliff notes of your journey from beginning to here.
Okay. I played cricket, quite a low standard, third and fourth 11 cricket. As in all sports, always looking for match officials, and I was persuaded to go along to a training course for umpires. I was interested, and I thought I'd give this a try. So for a season, I continued to play, but did some umpiring. Umpiring's not for everyone, but I quickly realised that I quite enjoyed it, and also, I realised that I could umpire at a much higher level than I ever played. So I stopped playing and just concentrated on umpiring. Perhaps was in the right place at the right time. There were lots of opportunities. I quickly was getting some really good matches, top level matches in the NCU. And then there were so many developments within cricket in terms of European tournaments. And again, I was very fortunate. I was a school teacher. I was able to manage time off. Cricket is a long game and tournaments can be a week, 2 weeks. I was able to get away to the tournaments. And again, that went quite well. Umpired Afghanistan in their first ever final, Division 7 in the World Cricket League, when they narrowly squeaked home against Jersey. And what a journey Afghanistan have been on since. And really, I just really enjoyed it. I enjoy all sports, but I enjoyed cricket, the people around cricket. I just continued to make progress. And then you get involved in World Cricket Leagues and you begin to travel further and further abroad. And again, I was able to avail of those opportunities. Very supportive family, which is very necessary because of the amount of time you're away. I genuinely still enjoy umpiring as much today as when I started.
5 days, well, it was 4 days in Malahide.
Yep.
Tell us what that was like.
So it was Alan Neil and myself were the two local umpires. We had Nigel Long and Richard Ellingworth, genuinely, genuinely great guys there with the on-field umpires. Chris Broad was the match referee. It was obviously a fantastic privilege to be involved. Very exciting, but nervous as well, because my TV experience at that stage had been very, very limited. And there I am, a TV umpire in a test match.
So you, as you said, you were the TV umpire. What are your abiding memories from that test?
Yeah, there are some nerves. And when we got to the second day, and all the checks have been done, and I've met the television director, and I've all my paperwork in place and all the protocols, I'm as aware of them as I could be. But there's always the unknown. Everything's checked. The sun is shining. Second day, really looking forward to it. In the TV box, and about an hour before they start, we realised we had a major issue, well, a major issue for me. It was such a sunny day that the sun was streaming into the TV box. I could not see anything on the computer screens, and I mean anything, absolutely nothing. So, I mean, the match would have started, but there would have been no input from the television umpire, no ball checks or anything. I could not see anything on the screens. We tried putting material over the windows. We tried altering the position of the screens. Clock's ticking. And eventually we did come up with a solution, always a solution. And it was cardboard boxes, old crisp boxes and so on, were opened out, put round the screens, and I was able to hunker down and then see the screen. And then to actually see outside, I could stand up and look outside. So for about 2 hours, that was my introduction to television.
And did the sun go away then, or?
As the sun moves, yeah. It got easier. But for that first couple of hours, I don't want to complain about the sun in Ireland, but, but that timing, yeah, it was unbelievable.
So back to Stormont. It's only a few weeks away. Are you looking forward to it?
Very much so. I was at Stormont 2 days ago. I was observing two umpires during the Future Series match. As I'm walking round, obviously I met various people, including Phil McCormick, the groundsman, and various NCU people, and that's all they're talking about the test match coming up. So very much looking forward to it. I live 15 minutes away from Stormont. It's mind-blowing to think there's going to be a test match happening, you know, so close by. We hope that the weather will be kind. We would want to see a good turnout of spectators. First ever test match in Belfast. And just hope it is a great occasion as well as a great match. With lots of interest from people who maybe normally wouldn't be fully interested in cricket. To realise, right, they do play cricket in Belfast and Northern Ireland, yeah.
Lastly, we spoke to a person who saw quite a bit of that historic first men's test match against Pakistan.
Hi, I'm Seb Daly. I'm a sport photographer with Sportsfile. I've been living in Ireland now 9 years after originally moving over from the UK.
Seb, we've known you for a few years now in cricket circles, but how long have you been a sports photographer for?
I started sport photography back in 2010. I was working in an image library in the southeast of England and moved into photographing sport. My first event was the Women's Rugby World Cup in Surrey. And from there, kind of went on and on.
So 14 years, what keeps it interesting?
There's always something different. Every match, whether it's rugby, soccer, cricket, or even things like athletics, everything's going to throw up something new. Every game is not exactly like the last, essentially.
And what about cricket itself? Did you play when you were young? Did you get in? Were you a cricket fan?
Yes, yeah. I played when I was young. Famously, actually, when I was really young, I must have been about 5, 6, or 7. I used to actually hold the bat with a hurling style. So the hands the wrong way around. And it wasn't until I actually went up to the club, they said that's the wrong way. but I was hitting the old plastic bat and ball, absolutely fine, knocking balls onto the leisure centre roof in our hometown quite easily. But I was always a very small kid, and I was kind of small for my age. And when I got to the age of, say, 12 or 13, I hadn't grown up as much as the other lads, and suddenly the bowlers were a lot bigger. The balls started being delivered a lot faster, and I kind of thought, oh, I'm not overly enjoying this suddenly. So I kind of stepped away from playing. I've always watched it. Dad's really into it. So that's kind of been an interest between the two of us.
And I first met you at the Malahide Test in 2018. Can you remember much about rocking up at Malahide that day and starting work and capturing the match?
So I look back at the photos recently, and I'd completely forgotten that the first day was rained off. I completely forgot that. But what I do remember was, I remember the second day, or the main day that I remember was it kind of burst into life. I think we, after the rain day, we came back and we kind of had bright sunshine for the second day. And I just remember there being a lot happening kind of quite quickly. So after the kind of a very dull start to the whole kind of event, suddenly I was kind of being hit with a lot of kind of action and reactions. So suddenly you could go from doing nothing one day to kind of a lot the next.
And photography is more than just about pointing a camera and hoping for the best. I mean, what goes into making a great photo, and how do you capture those moments of the bales flying or the catch being taken? Or
You're always trying to do a little bit of research so that you're kind of in the right place at the right time when a big moment happens. Little things like, let's say, for instance, being the right side of the ground. So if you know that a player is coming up to something like a half century or a century, you know they're quite possibly going to kind of tip the crowd and they'll look back to, say, teammates and family. So if you know where they are, you know that you're more likely to get a head-on shot of them if you're over in that side of the ground. So things like that. So you're constantly keeping an eye on scores, runs. So if you do go out for a wander, say around the ground, that you're kind of back in time for when things like that happen. Knowing where the players' changing rooms are, so you know where they'll potentially walk off after being bowled out or something like that. So then you're looking at dejection, knowing when the bales are going to go off. It's a bit of a lottery. You can kind of read the play sometimes. You can feel when a batter is under pressure and you can feel like, oh, there's something coming here. There's a wicket coming here. I can feel it. So then you might make sure you're in a position where you can see batter and stumps. But yeah, you're always kind of seeing how stuff evolves. You can kind of feel how the game kind of evolves.
When you're taking photos at, say, Malahide Test, historic matches like that, or the India T20s where there's a huge crowd, I mean, do you ever get a sense to take in what's happening around you, or are you so focused on the game as a photographer you just let it pass you by?
That's a good question, really good question. A lot of people say, oh, it's great you get to go to these events, and you're like, well, yes, I get to go to them, but I also have to work at them. So, yes, you are taking in what's happening, but at the same time, you've got to think, I've got to record this. I've got to show this. So you can't get overly swept up in the event as much. You can't show too much. You can't get involved too emotionally in it. You have to constantly think, how do I report on this? How do I document this? So the Pakistan matches recently down at Clontarf, after that first game, it was one of the best games I'd seen. And there was a lot of emotion after that. And you really have to just step back and think, I've got to record it, got to record it. Don't get too carried away with such a great result. You have to separate from that. So I think you have to remain kind of impartial and not get swept away with it.
There's some iconic photos of Kevin O'Brien hitting the maiden test century for Ireland men. Those photos were your good self taking those. Can you remember that day and the feeling and the emotion of the moment?
Yeah, so with stuff like cricket, you can feel that kind of coming from not so much a long way off, but it kind of builds. Whereas in other sports, a big moment like that is kind of happens, you know, kind of straight away, like a try or a goal. That we could kind of feel building. And you kind of thought, okay, so he got to 50. Okay, yeah, he's doing well, ticking along. And then when it gets kind of closer, you can kind of feel it, you know, in everyone. Okay, this could happen here. This could happen. And then you're getting ready for that. And Kevin's a great person to photograph. Big, big guy, big smile, good for reactions. So it's kind of your dream kind of person. they're often players who are they too cool? I don't know, who kind of just give a little raise of the bat, you know. But someone like Kevin, you know, you'll probably get two arms aloft. You'll probably give the bat a bit of a throw as well, and that always looks good. So, yeah, when it's someone like that, you're like, brilliant. I can't wait for this. And that's exactly what he did. He turned back to the family area, to his teammates, big beaming smile, two hands in the air, gives the bat a throw. And it was perfect, absolutely perfect. That's just what we wanted, and just what the day needed as well.
Just to finish off, cricket photographers sit around the boundary. Have you ever been part of the action? Have you ever been ducking balls and ducking and weaving? And
yeah, I can think of, yeah, there's definitely been a couple of times. Let's say you're trained in on the batter, and you see him play a lovely shot, and quite often the ball might stay in the frame for, say, two frames, but if it stays in a little bit longer, you know it's probably coming your way. And there was one down at was it YMCA or Merion, I can't remember, and the batter played a lovely stroke, lovely form, you know, the perfect shape. So I stayed on him just a couple of split seconds. And as only when I popped up, I thought, uh-oh, that's coming straight for me. I kind of got two fielders coming in from two sides. I thought, okay, could be in trouble here. And when you're sat down on your bum on the boundary with a big camera, you can't really move quickly. So you just have to kind of judge what's going to happen. And sometimes actually just sitting still is the answer. Sit still and either out goes a hand to block the ball, or just calmly, very calmly, you know, watch it sail past you. But we'll say that I did that calmly this time.
Join us next episode when we'll hear from players who are on the pitch building what was to come next.
That wasn't a load of garbage, was it?
That was great.